No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware,
health, wellness,
electrical,
electronics,
construction,
carpet cleaning,
legal,
or animal care,
and offer
exceptional
customer
service
and
provide
quality
services
or goods,
you're
honest,
reliable,
and professional.
If you have
a business,
we have
the customers.
Let us
put you in
touch
with our
loyal,
supportive,
and dedicated
listeners
today.
They're
waiting
to hear
from
you.
It's
inexpensive.
It's
effective.
Call
KHNC
at
1-800-205-6245.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network with us. And with us this morning is Joel Skousen, back from a trip. It's good to have you back, Joel. And you pick up the story.
Well, thank you. The main story on today's World Affairs Brief is about the State of the Union Address, but I'm going to cover some smaller important stories first and kind of do some summary of the State of the Union. It's pretty agonizing to go through, frankly. Let's first of all talk about the messed up L.A. Police Department. There's more to this story than the standard media line about a police officer gone rogue. We're talking about the recent nationwide hour-by-hour coverage of the of former police officer Christopher Dorner, who was wanted in a killing spree targeting law enforcement officers that left four people dead. Reuters and mainstream media omitted a lot when they mildly said police provided security details for over 50 LAPD officers and their families who were believed to be threatened by Dorner when he had named specific enemies in his rambling manifesto. The problem with that statement is that there are two versions that have come out of that manifesto, and they're clearly written by different people. So something's going on here. Either somebody's inventing his manifestos or painting him, you know, into a corner. In fact, trigger-happy police went berserk protecting their own. Officers protecting the houses of Torrance police officers opened fire without provocation on two women delivering newspapers in a blue pickup truck. They were given the wrong description of the vehicle they were looking for and wounded the two men and riddled the truck with bullets. Another driver was injured after his first stop by a police car, let go, and then another police car crashed into him to stop him, and the officer jumped out and opened fire on him. Fortunately, he wasn't killed. But the pickups were different makes and different colors, and Purdue, the last one I was talking about, the victim, looks nothing like Dorner. He's several inches shorter, about 100 pounds lighter, and Purdue is white and Dorner is black. I don't want to use the word buffoonery, said one person, but it's really unbridled police lawlessness. This was Purdue's attorney. These people need training and they need restraint. But the courts almost always side with the police against citizens. The taxpayers will have to foot the bill again for over-aggressive cops who will get off with barely a reprimand. So what ticked off this cop to turn against the department and go on this rampage? Reuters provides some clues. Quote, Dorner lost a job with the LA Police Department in 2008 after a police board of inquiry found he had lied in accusing a training officer of using excess force against a homeless man. Well, the board of inquiry is internal to police, and like the courts, tends to protect their own against whistleblowers like Dorner. The LAPD has a long history of thuggishness and abuse, which were highlighted in the Rodney King affair and the resulting LA riots and other LA riots. Trigger-happy cops shooting unarmed vehicles during this affair proved that things are worse than ever. The saga begins with the fact that Dorner felt he was unjustly fired for blowing the whistle on another officer. Dorner obviously had severe control problems himself to go on the rampage. This is kind of typical for who they hire in this department. But this was likely wrongdoing on both sides. The real issue that should have appeared during his hearing is the culture of excessive force and lack of restraint by officers in big metropolitan police departments. And nowhere is this lack of restraint more obvious than in the LAPD, how they reacted to this threat. Now, I don't know if Dorner was telling the truth about the specific case brought against him, but given the quantity of stories arising in the news about police abuse, I'm inclined to think it's true, but we'll never know now. While Police Chief Beck claims he will reopen the case on Dorner's dismissal, you can bet it would only be to confirm the official story against him now that he's dead. What is particularly suspicious is the way in which Dorner was killed. Like the Waco fiasco, where tear gas ignited a burning inferno, ending a siege against the men, women, and children of the Branch Davidians, and it ended a massive cover-up of government intrigue and wrongdoing. Dorner, too, was burned up in a fire at a cabin in Big Bear, California, where he had fled after a running gun battle with Fish and Wildlife Police. His death ensured that he won't ever be allowed to tell his side of the story. Reuters headline says, tear gas may have inflamed the cabin where fugitive ex-LA cop believed dead, and fugitive cop believed killed in fire after shootout. Naturally, the sheriff in charge of the operation denies any intent to burn him out. However, Los Angeles-based CBS television affiliate KCAL and CNN have broadcast an audio recording that sounds very much like the words, "The officers get the gas, burn it down." On another point in the recordings of the chatter over police scanner includes police discussing the plan with burners. Burners is a term used to describe tear gas partly because they are known to cause fires. But these recordings clearly show the fire wasn't just an accidental effect of the tear gas. Later over the scanner, an officer says, "The burners are deployed and we have a fire."
And, you know, basically I heard at least twice on television a police officer standing before a podium saying, "Well, we didn't burn down that cabin. We want you to know we didn't burn down the cabin." And they're obviously lying and covering for it.
They sure are. You know, police also made no attempt to extinguish the fire once it started, despite having fire trucks nearby, again indicated they wanted to burn Dorner alive. Just like Waco. It's also worth noting the police department shut down scanner communications after the fire started and ordered tweets and live updates from the newscasters to stop, presumably to stop Dorner from getting updates from the newscast. But by this point, however, it was too late for that information to help Dorner. It appears only to help cover up the actions of the police department. Expect these kinds of news blackouts to be called earlier and more often during standoffs. Well, another story is the takedown of Edgar Steele. I've been aware of Edgar Steele for many years. He used to send emails to every conservative who would listen and regale them with some pretty insightful charges about the evils of the dark side of government. But over time, he became increasingly strident and started blaming everything on the Jews. I'd long stopped reading his stuff, but I did recognize that this was a sharp legal mind and was a passionate and formidable foe to government. The powers that be apparently thought so too and decided to set him up for entrapment in prison. Many of us who are outspoken and active dissidents against this secret combination of power and government worry about the threat of a government coming after us. So this is a wake-up call for many. I've included in today's World Affairs Brief a short video link below that tells the story of what happened to Steele. And I'll summarize that since we can't play the video on air. But essentially, the FBI sent in an informer to pretend to be someone who needed a place to stay, who would work off his work with the Steele.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Noel Skousen.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest Joel Skousen, and Joel, pick up the story that sent an informer in to infiltrate this fellow. And what was the background?
Well, the informer, he was sent in there by the FBI and lived there in their home for several months. And over the process of time, he recorded conversations with Steele, led him into conversations that could later be cut and spliced to make it appear as if he had hired the guy to kill his wife. And what was interesting is that when you listen to the tape, it is so full of cuts and splices and jerks and different volumes and other things that it's obvious that it was put together and was not a continual recording of anything. But the judge, who was, and this is what they always do in these cases, they get a controlled judge. When the defense attorney tried to put on this testimony from two experts in audio about this was clearly a manufactured tape, he refused to allow them to go on the stand, refused to allow the jury to hear their testimony. And this is very typical. When you read Rodney Stitch's book, Defrauding America, about every whistleblower within government who was taken down by government, you find the same tactic. They take the case to a judge who refuses to allow the witness to tell any relationship he had with the CIA or anyone else who's taking them down, refused to allow them to even mention the federal government in his defense. And how can you defend yourself as an agent of the federal government when they refuse to allow you to talk about your work as an agent? So this is just incredibly unjust. He's now in prison. He was apparently on, when he was in the courtroom, he was, you know, looked and acted like a zombie, which means they forcibly drugged him while in prison. And who can defend themselves when you're forcibly injected with drugs? You know, they can put you into a stupor that can just destroy your mental abilities. This is just criminal behavior on the part of our government. And even though I'm, you know, a critic of Steele, that he was strident and he was anti-Semitic and he would rant and rave, nevertheless, nothing like this should happen to anyone, no matter how misguided they may be as a patriot.
I'm afraid this sort of thing has happened. I know they've tried to infiltrate me on several occasions, but go right ahead.
So we have to be very, very careful, and because the government is watching and they are attempting to look for chinks and ways to discredit us. In another story, the U.S. Attorney General argues against homeschooling in the most radical manner. You know, Germany is fast becoming a tyrannical nation, just like the Gestapo of the past. In that country, you can go to prison for verbally or writing anything in the country that any part of the Holocaust story, even if your claims may be untrue, even if you claim something that merely that something you know, is questionable or exaggerated. Now, the Holocaust did happen, but many facts have been invented or enhanced to enhance the horror effect. So we should be open to dialogue. But now the German government has determined that homeschooling shall not be permitted so that all children can be indoctrinated uniformly in the public school systems. The Homeschool Legal Defense Fund, the premier legal firm in America that defends homeschoolers, filed this report. You and Hanala Rameki fled from Germany to the United States after their family was vigorously prosecuted, including fines, forcible removal of their children from the home, threats of jail, and more for homeschooling. Now, that's even happened here, Stan, and will return someday. That is why this story is so important. Initially, the Rameki's were granted political asylum, but the U.S. government appealed that decision to the Board of Immigration Appeals. Attorney Michael Ferris of Homeschool Legal Defense Fund is convinced that the U.S. attorney's argument in this case reveals some very dangerous signs of our government attitude towards freedom and parental rights relative to education. He says the U.S. law of asylum allows a refugee to stay in the United States permanently if he can show that he's being persecuted for one of several specific reasons. Among those are persecution for religious reasons and persecution of a particular social group, like homeschoolers. In most asylum cases, there is some guesswork necessary to figure out what the government's true motive is, but not in this case. The Supreme Court of Germany declared that the purpose of the German ban on homeschooling was to, quote, counteract the development of religious and philosophical motivated parallel societies. Now, this sounds elegant, perhaps, but at its core is a frightening concept. This means that the German government wants to prohibit people who think differently from the government on religious or philosophical grounds from growing and developing into a force in society. It is thought control. It is belief control. It is a totalitarian attitude dressed up in politically correct lingo. Now, we argue, said Harris, that Germany is a party to many human rights treaties that contain specific provisions that protect the rights of parents to provide an education that is different from the government schools. Of course, the German government says, oh, yes, you can have something different, but you have to teach your kids after they've been educated in the public schools, meaning you have to do it in your time, not during the time they're required to go to school. Parents have the explicit right to give their children an education according to their own philosophy, says Harris. But I disagree. In the EU law, they're always written so that other parts contradict parental rights, giving the courts the ability to intervene and decide which conflicting right they have to support. In other words, the EU treaties and laws say that parents have rights to educate their children, but they also say when it does not conflict with the social needs of all society. So you see, these kinds of bad constitutions have these inherently conflicting parts in them that allows the courts to come in and intervene. That's why I'm so much against all of these international treaties and international or global government proposals, because they'll write constitutions that claim to protect our rights just like the American Constitution, but it won't do so. Now, while the United States government argued many things in their brief, there are three specific arguments Harris says that we should know about. I will cover two. First, they argue that there's no violation of anyone's protected rights in a law that entirely bans homeschooling. Now, this is from the U.S. government. This isn't from the German government. This is the Attorney General arguing that no violation of anyone's protected right in a law that entirely bans homeschooling. That would only be a problem, said our government, if Germany banned homeschooling for some but permitted it for others. Isn't that incredible, Stan? Now, in reality, Germany does permit some people to homeschool, but it is rare, and in general, Germany does ban homeschooling broadly, although not completely. But listen to this. Germany allows exemptions from compulsory attendance to gypsies and those whose jobs require constant travel. Those who want to stay at home and teach their children are always denied the right to homeschool. But let's assume the position of the U.S. government on the face of its argument is a nation violates no one's rights if it bans homeschooling entirely. I mean, this is telling of what they intend to do in the future, Stan, even though homeschooling is widely allowed now in most states. There are two major portions of constitutional rights of citizens, fundamental liberties and equal protection. U.S. Attorney, U.S. Attorney General, has said this about homeschooling. There is no fundamental liberty to homeschool, only a procedural equal protection, meaning that if it's allowed somewhere, it has to be allowed everywhere. But if you ban it uniformly, there's no right to homeschool, and that's just ludicrous. There's no constitutional ban of that sort that prohibits parents from taking this education under their own aegis of liberty. A second argument is revealing. The U.S. government contended that the Romeikis case failed to show that there was any discrimination based on religion because, among other reasons, the Romeikis did not prove that all homeschoolers were religious and that all Christians believed that they had to homeschool. This argument demonstrates another form of dangerous groupthink by our own government. The central problem here is that the U.S. government does not understand that religious freedom is an individual right, not a church right. One need not be part of a church or other religious group to be able to make a religious claim, and the Supreme Court's ruled on this in favor of this. Specifically, one doesn't have to allow the dictates of the, follow the dictates of an organized church to claim religious freedom to homeschool. It is important that Americans stand up for the rights of the German homeschooling families here. In doing so, we stand up for our own. So I feel very strongly, having homeschooled all of my children, and believe in the damage that public schools do, even if the education's okay, which it isn't. Even if it were, the attitudes they get, the lack of discipline that happens at public schools, and the safety issues, as shown by the Sandy Hook things, shows that people should get out of public schools.
I share your concern. Go right ahead.
Well, there's a whole spate of military exercise in urban areas that deserves comment. Live, unannounced military exercises are on the rise in American cities, bringing fear to ordinary citizens who are never told what is going on and who are not being given straight answers by local government who knows about them in advance. Max Slavo believes that these are being done without notice to get Americans accustomed to a military presence and to not question their authority. Says the military continues to step up exercises focused on urban deployment, and as recently as last month held live exercises in two heavily populated U.S. metro areas. Residents of Miami and Houston were treated to troop mobilizations firing machine guns with blanks and gunships flying over their cities. After concerned callers reported the activities to local news stations, the media quickly moved to calm fears of any terrorist attack or invasion. They smiled while they did it and shrugged off the unprecedented displays of military power as just your average military exercise. Except, of course, that the military, up until recently, he says, have never openly trained in U.S. cities. Now, that's actually not true. They've done it as early as 10 years ago. And especially not in scores of cities with training spread over such a short period of time. And that is true. Which begs the question, he says, why are the military and local law enforcement holding realistic urban training exercises on the streets of America when they could do it at any number of training facilities around the world? Good question. In Miami, on January 26th of this year, Army Black Hawk helicopters swooped through the city at night, firing door-to-door guns and chasing make-believe bad guys like something out of an action movie. The fire blanks echoed off the buildings, scaring many residents into taking cover. The local news report reported excitedly about the exercise, stating how it was only a drill for residents not to be concerned. However, there's no journalistic follow-up on the hard questions. And there never is, you know, the journalists are simply shills for government, such as who authorized an exercise without informing the public? Why conduct this type of training in a populated U.S. city and put citizens at risk? Isn't this a violation of posse comitatus? No hard follow-up questions were asked, and to my knowledge, have never been and never will. Not even when the exercise occurred in Houston, Texas, on the 29th of January, the U.S. Army, along with other agencies, took over the Carnegie Vanguard High School in Houston on Monday. Alarmed residents called police and complained about gunshots and helicopters at a school. I mean, they ought to know better than to do this type of thing at a school, which would alarm the public. The government has done this before. Slavo did his research and came up with these others. Los Angeles, California, Plainville and Worcester, Massachusetts, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and East St. Louis, Missouri. As reported in other stories, that Missouri one was almost 10 years ago, residents were unaware of the drills until helicopters swooped over their neighborhoods. And even a subscriber of the World Affairs Brief wrote to me this week saying that he was in a community meeting with the chief of police of his city, and a Harrier jump jet came in and hovered right over the building. This subjected everyone to the huge roar of the jet engines in hover mode. It then moved on and hovered over a nearby building. FAA rules do not permit these kinds of low-level intrusions, so obviously the military thinks it is a power unto itself. So, as a former military pilot, I'm very disturbed by this kind of conduct.
Well, unfortunately, the military is a power unto itself, and there is an invisible force that controls our military, and I fear one day we'll use it to suppress all freedom in America. Well, we're going to be taking a break here in just a moment. Our guest this morning is Joel Skousen. But go right ahead, Joel.
Well, after the break, we'll cover the rampant inflation in Latin America. Argentina and Venezuela are running between 22 and 30% inflation as corruption feeds those who run the government. Deficits are used to finance the growing burden of social welfare schemes, and a devalued currency keeps exports alive. All governments manipulate their inflation rates. Japan has doubled its rate of inflation, but is still claiming only 2%.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here at the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, how they can reach you, and how they can get the excellent books you've gotten, you've written, certainly about strategic relocation and building a safe home, room in your home. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. People can get a free sample issue of what we're talking about today by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. On my other website, joelskousen.com, people can get a view of what my books look like and a synopsis of them. As you mentioned, my top seller is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. It's in its third edition, a new all-color edition. Beautiful color maps of every state and province in the United States and Canada, as well as a new section on international retreating. But I talk about safe places in virtually every state, even though some states are very poor relative to others. And in addition, I cover contingency planning when you can't leave the city because of job or other things and how you handle that. My other book for actually preparing your home for security and survival is called The Secure Home. It's over 700 pages and covers everything in high security construction as well as self-sufficiency, solar generators, etc. And my last book is the High Security Shelter book, How to Implement a High Security Shelter in an Existing Basement. And all three of these can be had from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the rising inflation rates in Latin America. This is typical of Latin America. I used to live there when they had such an inflationary cycle going on. Each nation is trying to boost exports by making their money cheaper, devaluing it by printing. And the others then start to have to devalue their currency in order to keep pace. They have a free trade union there called the Mercosur economic market. It's kind of like their own, you know, European economic market, except they don't use single currency. But eventually they end up inflating so much they have to knock 3 or 6 zeros off the currency and start over again. But it's a, you know, it's a tough thing because you see, with the downturn in the world economy led by the U.S., purchases of their products have declined. And so in order to keep exports high, they're trying to recover by deflating their currency. And they're also doing it, of course, because they have growing social welfare systems and less taxes. As their own countries are in recession, they have less taxes coming in. They need more deficit spending. And so they cover this by printing. I mean, Argentina is up to 25 or 30%. Venezuela is 30%. And each of these nations is fudging their numbers just like the U.S. does. The U.S. claims 2% inflation, but it's actually 7 to 9. Japan claims 2%, and it's actually 7 to 9%. But this is the important lesson from this. All of those pundits who keep predicting the collapse of the dollar need to understand that the dollar is going to look even stronger as this plays out. As others inflate, percentage-wise, more than the Fed, no currency, in other words, every currency is inflating, but as these inflate more than the dollar, then the dollar looks bad. It looks good in comparison, and that's why the dollar rates have been rising. It's about 0.8 compared to the euro, and it was down to, you know, less than 7 a few years ago. Well, no currency is actually strong. It's just relative. It's a relative race to the bottom. But it won't happen all that fast, at least in the U.S., and that's why I'm not predicting a collapse of the currency anytime soon.
Okay, fine. Well, I don't think it's going to collapse, but I do think we're going to have continued inflation. And this is devastating for people who worked all their lives to amass a certain amount of money for the retirement. And so the inflation is simply a silent tax or a means of stealing the value of people's work. Go right ahead.
Well, let's turn now to the State of the Union. Reading or listening to the annual State of the Union address to Congress is an exercise in mental and spiritual anguish as you work through to unravel the sophisticated lies, the flattery, the half-truths, the distortions that speechwriters weave into every single State of the Union speech, whether Democrat or Republican. Senator Rubio's Republican response provided no respite from that. His speech was carefully crafted to focus more on the glories of the poor working class that he came from as he maneuvers for a future run on the presidency. In other words, it was a politically motivated speech more than it was a strong rebuttal to Obama. In the end, he was nearly as bad at pandering to social welfare programs and playing up the false hopes of Americans as Obama was. And listening to the pundits on NPR praise Obama's assertiveness, his boldness, and bold strokes of genius without ever addressing the dishonesty of his position was equally painful. You know, it's typical, even Rubio started out praising the troops. You have to stop and say, we praise our fine men and women in uniform. We talk about brave Americans, men with grit and determination, the American people. These types of things are clearly meant to flatter the audience into, you know, getting them on your side. But perhaps the worst thing is what they always end with, and it's a feigned religiosity with references to God himself, and it's the ultimate blasphemy, in my opinion, Stan, as they finish with the inevitable and wholly hypocritical God bless America. Well, when you live by lies, you have no business representing God and claiming to, you know, that God will bless America. You cannot speak for God when you are evil, corrupt, and a hypocrite. And that's why I object when people like Bill Clinton or even George Bush said that, because George Bush was a hypocrite, skull and bones member while he proclaimed to be a fundamentalist Christian. In between these showy words, Obama focused the audience's attention on various heroes in the gallery. The president's PR staff selects and brings people in for show and tell purposes and that provide political sympathy for Obama's pet causes. There were parents of victims of gun violence, a nurse who survived Hurricane Sandy, representing all those needing more federal disaster aid. And then there was the 102-year-old Miami woman who had to wait 6 hours so she could cast her vote for Obama, all to help justify making it even easier for people to get to the polls and help the favorite candidate with registration and vote fraud, as the Democrats do. And even Republicans did that, of course, when they tried to destroy Ron Paul in the primary battles. Yes, these people in the gallery are victims, poor fools who have fallen prey to the political establishment who is using them to promote their deceptive gun control, their vote manipulation, and welfare agendas. And they're victims of their own soft thinking. Shame on the political hacks who use these people, and shame on the victims themselves for being so blind to the fact that they are being used. Then there's the false credit Obama takes for the economy. Created 6 million jobs.
Hold that thought, Joel. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
What? Good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home? And I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or taste the water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Passover is coming on Saturday, March the 23rd, and you're invited to celebrate Yeshua's Passover with the Beth Messiah Congregation. Again, Passover is March 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza Hotel. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations. Deadline is March the 8th. Main entrees are lamb and turkey. Adults are $35. Children 10 to 12 are $15. Children 6 to 9 are $13. Children 5 and under are free. Call today 1-800-205-6245 for your Passover reservations.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest, Joel Skousen, and Joel, go right ahead.
Well, his deception about reducing the deficit tops them all. He says both parties have worked together to reduce the deficit by more than $2.5 trillion, mostly through spending cuts, but also by raising tax rates on the wealthiest 1%. He says, as a result, we're more than halfway towards the goal of $4 trillion in deficit reduction. Of course, he doesn't say, you know, the deficit during the same period over 10 years will rise $20 trillion. But this is supposedly great that we're reducing the rate of increase by $4 trillion. But perhaps he's got some economists in his pocket who can't count. But any honest analyst would laugh at the claim of $2.5 trillion in spending cuts. When those have been so few, you can hardly list them. He mentions the huge tax increase on the wealthy as if it's an afterthought to spending cuts, but it's by far the largest component. Reduction of the federal deficit we'll see this year. Of course, Obama wants even more tax money from the rich.
Well, of course, that doesn't work because they find other means of doing it, and it is the rich who are behind Obama. This is all talk. I mean, certainly General Electric doesn't pay, one of the largest corporations in the world doesn't pay any federal tax. They always have a means of getting around it. But go ahead.
That's right. And, of course, he calls for balance, but, of course, there is no balance when there's no spending cuts, and the proof of that is that, as we see in the speech, Obama derides the sequester cuts. He doesn't intend to follow through with them. And that leaves us only with his tax increases. And, of course, he's doing that without calling them tax increases, just like the Republicans, by saying getting rid of tax loopholes and deductions for the well-off and the well-connected. Well, these loopholes were put there by Congress specifically because the tax code was creating all kinds of perverse incentives and causing distortions in the markets. Those same crushing distortions will come back and savage certain business investments if those loopholes are removed. And now comes the biggest lie, of course, when he says, let me repeat, nothing I'm proposing tonight should increase our deficit by a single dime. And then he starts proposing, you know, 15 global training hubs for job creation. Why global, you know? This proves that he's a globalist. Why not American training hubs? Why are we training the world? He talks about then creating an energy security trust that will drive research and development. That sounds like a really bad idea, that he's going to start throwing more money at companies like Solyndra. And the federal government gets involved in research development, it usually ends up wasting a lot of taxpayer money. Then, of course, he takes credit for increasing natural gas production, which was in no part due to the federal government, and propagandizes about the evils of carbon in the planet, even while he says that carbon pollution has fallen over the past 4 years, taking credit for it and then saying we're going to have more executive action to now and in the future reduce carbon pollution. I mean, this guy is just, whoever writing the speeches hopes the audience isn't smart enough to see the outright contradictions. He, of course, pushes solar again, but I'll tell you, as a person who's a solar expert, solar is never, or wind power, is never going to be cheaper on a per kilowatt basis than any of the traditional energy resources. Sustainable energy is simply not efficient. The energy from wind and solar are many times more expensive than gas, coal, water power, nuclear. And then he has the audacity to praise countries like China that are going all out for clean energy, and so must be. Well, China's building more nuclear power, has more coal plants, over 360 new coal plants. You know, I can't understand. What's he saying? Obama, who's against coal, as the carbon polluter, is now in favor of China building more coal plants? Well, he's just betting on people won't check up on what he's saying. But putting China up as any example is laughable. China's the biggest polluter in the world and getting worse, not better. This was put in there as part of the globalist agenda to keep painting China as a progressive partner to the U.S. rather than the predator enemy that she really is.
But I think what people don't understand is there's an organized effort to drive up electricity prices here in America, to force us to use less electricity, to force our industries that are electricity dependent to leave this country. And that's exactly what they're doing. They can move to China where they have coal-powered electricity, and certainly, but it's inexpensive electricity. It is all part of an effort down the line to progressively lower the standards of living here and drive our industries offshore. And the average American doesn't understand why electric rates keep going up, whereas in India recently, they promised, you know, to bring electricity into homes for 20 cents a month. 20 cents a month. And, of course, here in America, why, of course, the electric rates are just skyrocketing. But go right ahead.
Well, he talks about, with bipartisan support, we're going to have a market-based solution to climate change. He's talking about the old carbon tax gimmick. And this is hardly a voluntary thing, as Obama brandishes his threat, saying if Congress won't act soon to protect future generations, I will. Well, he's typically going to use his executive orders, which are both, that's both predictable and illegal. Of course, he keeps talking about, remember, this isn't going to increase one dime of the deficit. Talks about we're going to support high-speed rail, we're going to support high-tech schools, we're going to do self-healing power grids, which is impossible when you have long aerial power lines. These are the weak points and outages when you have, you know, high wind storms or snow and ice storms. Then there's the Fix It First program. He's going to take on even more highway repairs for 70,000 structurally deficient bridges. He even wants to rebuild vacant homes and run down neighborhoods. Well, they're vacant for a reason. People are fleeing these areas, like in Detroit. And I suppose that won't cost anything either. And then he talks about it won't cost much because we're going to do a business-government partnership. Well, I can tell you that there aren't any businesses that get involved with the government without being fully compensated. There's no relief to the taxpayer for those proposals. He's talking about, you know, having a head start on steroids, high-quality preschool available to every child in America, and this isn't going to cost any more. It's going to, you know, cause more bureaucracy to be involved in higher education, as colleges are going to be required to determine the affordability and value of their tuition. And he promotes, of course, comprehensive immigration reform, claiming there are going to be more boots on the southern border. What we need is a complete and airtight fence across the southern border, not National Guard troops, which aren't even allowed to go out and stop illegals. Therefore, propaganda purposes.
He's talking it's about all about creating a multicultural, multilingual society and destroying America. And there are lots more than 12 million illegals here. They're lying to us once again. Go out of time. God bless. Talk to you next week.
Dan.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy the program with Joel Skousen. You must understand that America's under attack from within today. I certainly, Obama is simply the front for the power elite that put him in power. I believe they stole the last election, but they steal elections all the time. Certainly they stole the election for George W. Bush in the year 2000 by the Supreme Court intervening and saying, no, we won't listen to what they say in Florida. Why? George W. Bush is the president. They stole the election in 2004, certainly from John Kerry, who I don't like. But then, of course, now he's going to be rewarded by becoming Secretary of State. I understand that there's a little clique that runs America. It just so happens John Kerry comes from the Trilateral Commission, person who was nominated to be the Secretary of State before that, Susan Rice, just happened to come from the County Trilateral Commission. In fact, 7 of the 12 Secretaries of State, 13 now that we've had, certainly have come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. And although Hillary didn't come from the Trilateral Commission, her husband did, these are the people who run America, a small little group of less than 100 people, but they determine the course of our nation. And they're going to lower the living standards of America as they're raising living standards throughout the world as we move towards the one world government, but with a marked reduction in population because they're intending to dramatically limit the population, and part of that will be the coming war. If you don't understand population control, you need to get my talk, Population Control, the Covert Agenda, or my talk on Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. They both go into great detail on all the things they're doing that you've never even considered to limit our population, destroy your health. And if you get these items by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it, and hopefully you'll want to get a case of the books. We almost halfway to having enough people to actually get the book reprinted. You can get a case of the book for $149.95, and we throw in a free CD, a 4-CD set, a free DVD we produced to cover the cost of shipping. But you need to get the book out. Why? Because we'll introduce the people who read it to the fact that there is a group that runs America, and they are motivated by a different God. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and we hope you go there. You can listen to our programs, our other programs we do. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day and a weekend program as well. And you need to understand what's going on so you can prepare yourself at the very difficult times that lie ahead. They're going to, down the line, erode and eventually destroy the value of our currency. It's taking place slowly. One of these days it'll speed up. We don't know when that's going to happen. We're moving towards a war in the Middle East, and millions are going to die, and there may very well be repercussions right here in the United States. Certainly they're planning right now for military occupation of America. That's why the military forces are carrying out their exercises in our own towns. They have their people planted in the military, who will take action against our own citizens. and the same people who financed Adolf Hitler and financed the Holocaust are in charge in America today. And if you haven't gone into the background, certainly of how it was American corporations that built the weapons that Nazis used, why are you going to, you need to read the book, America's Nazi Secret, America's Nazi Secret, and hear my four tapes set on War Against the Jews, 1-800-544-927. Go until Monday. Pay them. It is.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.